It's hilly, it's sandy, it's stony. From a commercial farmer's perspective, it looks like a worthless piece of property.
But it's home. Jerry Apps is a rural historian and chronicler of country life. He was born and raised on a small farm in Washera County, Wisconsin. He still lives there, about 2 miles over, on a piece of land his dad bought in 1966. His most recent book, Old Farm, is a kind of deep history of his land, a portrait of the place and the people who've lived there all the way back to the beginning. He told Ann Strangechamps that the land came to him by a fluke.
My dad bought it almost on a whim. And a friend of his at the courthouse one day in Wautoma, the county seat, said to him, "Herman, there's some land just 2 miles from you that's come up for sale. You have any interest? You can buy this land for back taxes." So he did, just as a kind of a whim. And then he sold it to my two brothers and me for a dollar. So I paid 33 1/3 cents for my farm in 1966.
You've written about your land in a lot of different ways, but you did something with this latest book of yours. You've described it to me as a kind of genealogy, except beginning with the land. What made you think of doing that?
I teach life story writing, creative writing with a slant on helping people discover their own stories. And I wasn't particularly interested in just family history because my interest was more in land and its history. And so I combined the two ideas. I call it doing the genealogy of your land, which includes the geologic history, the Native American history, and all of the rest of it, the biologic history, and so on. But then you bring in the people and their effect on the land. And so you put the two ideas together.
You're seeing it all as part of, in a sense, an ecosystem.
To me, that's all part of the picture, because starting with the Native American history, which is absolutely fascinating, and it's fascinating everywhere, but in our area, it's especially fascinating because we were Menominee Indian territory until 1848, which is very late. Chief Oshkosh was in charge of the Menominees during those years. When the treaty was proposed to him in 1848, and the stipulation was that all of the Menominees, there were 2,500 then, they should move to Minnesota. And there the government would establish for them a reservation. Well, Oshkosh said, "I want to see that before I sign." Ah, wise man. So he and some of his sub-chiefs went to Minnesota and discovered that this was terrible land. It was worse than anything in central Wisconsin. So Menominee came back and said, and I paraphrase, "We're not going to go." Well, that had never happened before. The people who were the U.S. government representatives had never heard such a thing because they had offered the magnificent sum of 17 cents an acre for the land. And they eventually renegotiated the treaty and established the Menominee Indian Reservation so that the Menominee Indians could stay on part of the land where they had always been. That's a great story.
And then after that came some of the first settlers. Were you able to find out anything about who first worked your land?
Oh, sure, because I have the abstract of title. The first entry was U.S. Government to Thomas Stewart. Big clue. Wasn't sold. U.S. Government to Thomas Stewart. Well, if you know the history of the time, he homesteaded the land. I immediately discovered with some more research that he was a Civil War veteran. If you fought in a Civil War, you were in first place to get federal lands as part of the Homestead Act. It was, as I described earlier, not very good for farming. And the early surveyors had written in their survey notes, poor soil, scrub oak. They didn't speak well of it at all.
So far, this is kind of a sad story. Here's this Civil War veteran who comes limping up to Wisconsin and gets this crappy piece of land.
Yeah, exactly. And he was limping because he'd been injured. He wasn't shot or anything. He fell off a wagon loading a boat, a steamboat on the Mississippi River. He applied for a pension. And as a result of applying for a pension, I was able, through the National Archives, to obtain all of the records. The surgeon's records, the reports from his commanding officer, everything.
Do you know anything about what he did on the land, or did he leave any traces
behind?
Found when you moved into the farm?
Exactly. You know, I know a lot what he did.
Traces of him?
I know a lot what he did. One of the first things I did, and as a historian, I'm always fascinated to find something real to tie me to the research I've been doing, to tie me to the abstract. And I found tucked up in my pump house a brass stencil that said Tom Stewart. which would have been the brass stencil that he used to put his name on his gear when he was in the Army. Oh, man. To find something like that as a historian, you just, well, it just...
Chills must have
Yeah, something like that. No, something else I discovered. I have a remnant side hill on my farm that was too steep to ever have been farmed. And there grow the native grasses. Big blue stem, little blue stem, switchgrass, all that sort of thing, Indian grass. Those were the grasses that grew on this farm when Tom Stewart and his several team of oxen and a breaking plow turned this land for the first time.
So you can stand on that section of your land and get a glimpse of what it would have looked like to Tom Stewart.
The past is right in front of me by standing on this side hill. So it's a detective project to figure all of this out.
Yeah, it really does strike me that you've done something that a lot of other people may admire. You know, Americans are we're such rootless people, you know, so a great many people wind up moving to land that their family didn't grow up on. They have no particular roots. And, I mean, this provides a model of at least one way to kind of begin to put down some roots in the place you've come to.
That's a very good point, because this is not my home farm. I do not have any nostalgic connection to it. I can't tell you that when I was 10 years old, I did this with this tree or that sort of thing. So one still can develop, in my estimation, a sense of place and a deep respect and love for it by doing some of the sorts of things that I've done. And I tell my students who are interested in this sort of thing, I say, the extent to which we know more about something, whether it's an old barn, a piece of land, a one-room school, is the extent to which we're going to take care of it.
Jerry Apps is a rural historian. His most recent book is Old Farm. He talked with Anne Strange Champs.